This is the Monicast, all about open source marketing automation with Montic. And here is your host, Eki Gamble.
Yes, exactly. And we have such a long list of things to talk about today. Right. Hello, Leon.
Hello there.
Hello. So I would say let's get started right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we do not hit the hour. Okay. The main topic today, as you probably saw from the headline, is about scoring. And my interview partner is Jonas Ludwig, colleague of ours. And that's good stuff. Plus, at the end of the interview, there's a little nice surprise. So
exciting.
Make sure to stay tuned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we get to the long list, there's one other thing I want to bring up, and that is being a member is so important.
Sure.
We see more and more people coming in now on a personal level or as a organization or company. Community, bronze level, maybe silver. We have Drop Solid on board now as a diamond sponsor. Hey, congratulations.
Yeah,
that's, of course, related to the trials that we will talk about later.
Right?
But we need way more. I think everybody who's using Mautic, who's making who's supporting his own business with Mautic, or who is building their business on Mautic, should be a member, should show their support for Mautic, and also, of course, should support Mautic financially a little bit.
Yeah.
So, and that would even include others in the ecosystem, like Cloudron, or we even now have Elastio. Not sure how they are pronounced. So they build Mautic into their solutions or provide Mautic as part of their solution.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. They're, of course, also welcome as a member of Mautic. Show up, folks.
Yeah.
Love you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talking about good stuff and things coming up. The newer Mautic versions 5.0.4 and the security fix for Mautic 4.4.12, it should be, are about to come out. If you listen to this interview, they should be out by now, and containing, as far as I'm concerned, some minor security fixes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also coming closer and closer is Mautic 5.1, our first feature version of Mautic 5. And I'm pretty excited about that because there is a lot of features, bigger and better, and some small fixes here and there coming. I'm pretty excited to have the 5.1 around the corner already.
Yeah, that's going to be a ton. In preparation of this episode, I went through all the things that have already been merged into the 5.1.
Mm-hmm.
And it's way beyond 100.
Yeah.
some are really minor, like a label improvement here or button change there or something. But some are really, really nice and they even more that have not yet been merged.
No.
Things that I like is, for instance, a single click tag deletion. So you can now, if there's a contact, you see the 20 tags, you can now click, find them, remove them with a single click. When you send segment emails, you can now say, okay, use it from this segment and this segment, but not from that segment. So exclude feature, that's powerful. When you look at the user list, so the people that log into Mautic, you now have the information, when did they last log in, what did they recently do, etc. So that's, from an auditing perspective, very helpful.
Yeah.
GDPR thing is that we no longer use web fonts, but have self-hosted fonts. Hooray, finally. And some eye candy, too. We have new icons coming up.
Nice. Yeah. I've seen a lot of PRs from the UX team.
Yeah, they
really got it going.
Crazy, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, yeah. But again, there's also more substantial features that not mentioned here, but will be in 5.1. I'm excited, just as you are.
Yeah. And with Moric 5, there also came the more importance or the high importance of Composer installing. And there's been a ton of questions around the forum about how it works. And our good friend Joey and our good friend Tobias from Joey Keller and Audienture also have a blog post up on their site going into details of how to install Moric 5 with Composer, or turning your Moric installation into a composerized installation. And if you out there have a bit of issues or just want a second opinion, you should go to that blogs.
Yeah. On the forums, there was a thread about the fact that Composer makes it hard. And in fact, we also need NPM. Mm-hmm. So yet another package manager to really install Mautic going forward. For now, of course, it's optional, right? With Mautic 5, you can still go the good old zip way.
Yeah.
but Composer is the way of the future. And it's true, it's making life way harder, especially if you are used to installing your little WordPress with a zip file.
Yeah.
You will hate it. I guarantee you. So the legacy way is still there, but with Mautic 6, I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. The other option that's been pointed to is to use a Docker image that is ready for production. Of course, now not everybody is familiar with Docker, and that's also a barrier for some. And I appreciate the discussion that we need to make sure that it's easy enough, or that there are easy paths for everyone. Yeah. By the way, the free demo or the free trial is another way to very simply and without installing Mautic, try out Mautic yourself, and then maybe go ahead without ever installing it, just using a hosted version.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, for ourselves, NPM on the production system is not a big deal because we use deployment, but that's even more complex and not for everybody.
Yeah, the entry level and the barrier gets a bit higher, a bit more technical, especially for newer users. Yeah.
But it must be said that there's good reasons for that, and it's just very powerful to go the way that the Mautic project is going here.
Yeah, I agree.
You did mention Tobias and the audiencia.com blog, which we had which we referred to on the show notes in multiple episodes already. I'm still flashed. I'm very excited about the quality of the blog posts by Tobias.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So there's a new one about it's called form event tracking. In the end, it's about sending things to analytics or Matomo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very well written. It's a top down, so you can get to the point real quick, or you can go into all the details and understand the backgrounds, why it works the way it is, etc.
Oh, that's good.
So props to Tobias for this terrific content. And I have to admit, this was what triggered me to get in touch with him and ask him for the backgrounds, because it was always like, who is that guy? And and what's the business model behind this blog? And there's a subscription thing. Is that real? Is it something fishy? I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know who he is. And so I managed to get in touch with him, and I can guarantee you there's nothing fishy about him or his project. Mm-hmm. He's just an open source lover, has been that for 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
Has been a long-time Mautic user, and it's just his way to go into the details for himself and then also reflect it to the world and blog about it. And the fact that he has some content behind a paywall. I think it's $60 per year. I happily signed up to that, because I totally want to support him with creating this content and shelling out more free content, of course, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, that's really good work, I say.
Well, that's more on Mautic 5, and I think the other big topic elephant in the room beyond Composer install is email. And obviously email is the number one thing what people do with Mautic, and then email marketing is the biggest part within Mautic.
True.
So it has to be as good or if not better as it was before. So it should be super easy to set it up and to use it, and it should be fast and all. And there's still rough edges, I have to say. For a good foundation, I want to, I think we should put a bigger list of links to the show notes. In this case, as a foundation, I want to point to a article about email sending, queue handling, and all that with some good stuff in it.
Yeah.
Rough edges. I think the biggest part there is the adapters for the email service providers, like Amazon SES or Megon or SendGrid or Mailjet, or you have it.
Yeah.
That was or used to be part of the core product. It is now no longer part of the core product. And some adapters have popped out here and there for SES. It's even multiple, which is not good. I totally think we should get that under control really quick and make it easy for everybody to understand which is the right one and make sure that this right one is also quality and the best one.
I totally agree, yeah.
As far as I understand today, it's the one by Mohammed Abu Musa. He's a product team member, and for me, that's a reference. And we do not use it in production so far, but I hope we get that sorted out as a community real quick.
Yeah, we should. We should.
Yeah, there's other things. One thing I want to bring up is that there was an oversight in this new feature that do not contact is not does not relate to transactional emails. So if somebody opts out,
heard about that? Yeah.
Yeah. If somebody opts out, he or she should still receive transactional emails like an invoice. There's no notion of opting out of receiving invoice.
Yeah.
Nice otherwise. On the other hand, for Mordic, there's at that point no distinction between an intentional opt-out or a hard bounce when email doesn't work anymore. And so the fix necessary is to say, if it's a hard bound, do not send the email anyway. If it is just an opt-out, keep sending the transactional emails.
Nice. Do you know who provided that fix?
That's Matthias Sachmeister.
Nice.
I'm not sure. I hope it's going to make it into 5.1.
No.
For everybody else, we will link to the fix in the show notes, and you can install it directly.
Yeah.
Then, of course, there's this big deal with tougher rules by Gmail and Yahoo, etc. One thing that has been largely discussed is single-click unsubscribe single-click unsubscribe thing.
Yeah.
That's been largely discussed. Other things, all the technical things, if you are a mass sender, as defined by you ever send more than 5,000 emails at once in one day to Gmail.
That's a low barrier.
Yeah, it is. So if that reply relates to you, then you need to be very good at your technical setup now. You need to have DMARC in place with a real policy, not just ignore. So if you haven't done that yet, you should do that right now. But then to us and our clients, the biggest deal is really the spam rate, because I think 0.3% is the goal. 0.6 is the absolute maximum that you are allowed to have.
And we were talking about user-reported spam rates.
User-reported spam.
Real user pressing on, this is spam.
Yeah, and we see the rates going up. People get more used to pressing spam. And 0.6% can really, really quickly happen if you do something wrong. So you need to have a good eye on the rates that you had in the past and how to optimize your sending strategies to avoid that to happen. It's really important if you are a serious email sender, do take a look at your numbers.
Yeah. Gmail is very harsh if you overstep those numbers.
Yeah, it's painful. What do we have? More Mordic 5. 45 plugins. We did talk about the email service provider adapters, but of course there's many more plugins, and I'm very happy to see that more and more move to Modify5 now finally. One that I especially want to mention, I think we never mentioned it before, is the log, the command logger by
Usmani. Yeah.
Usmani, right?
Yeah, I had the pleasure to test that already.
Mm. At that point, it was called
Better Bundle.
Yeah.
Part of the Better Bundle. So it's pretty simple. It just adds a new menu item to Modic, under which you can see which commands are running in the background, how often they run, and even if a command fails and throws an error.
And how long they take.
Also. And also the runtime. So it's basically for a user that doesn't go onto the command line or looks under the hood, a pretty easy way to see, okay, what is running under the hood.
Very convenient. I think normal users should not have to see that, but administrators, they should. And it's a nice tool. And of course, Kusmani, like always, has many more. And the point is, this one is now also on Modic 5. It's now called the command monitor, by the way.
Yeah. Also coming from the community, I've seen that there are a couple new MGML email themes provided for free by our good friend Ricardo. There are four new ones which he released, and I'd say we just put a link into the show notes, and everybody looking for some inspiration or even some new email themes to use, they're just there to be used.
Yeah, they're all on GitHub. They're all totally free.
Yeah.
Frankly, I did not check the quality. They look good, but I did not take a look inside. But maybe you want to, and eventually we'll certainly do it ourselves.
Yeah, and like a little last bonus, funny thing coming from the community is by Joey, from who else, if we're honest. He made a little video about how you can control Doom, the good old game that basically runs on everything, from Modic, which is...
Yeah.
I haven't seen something like that before, I'd say.
Joey wrote me a message during the Easter break, and you could totally tell that, he was killing some time. That's not no good phrase for Doom. Right? Yeah. he promised to me he's only going to do stuff like that once a year, but he was really freaking out. And if you look at the video, he's going into all the nitty-gritty. So you may want to fast forward at one point and then fast back and do it yourself. Yeah, no, that's fun. But yeah, do take a look.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. With so many more things, why don't we just mention the topics and then put them all into the show notes, don't discuss the details?
We don't have that much time for a single episode.
Okay, real quick. Blog post about asset management, so that's images and so on that you want to use in your emails, etc. That's a concept now for making that way better than what was before.
Yep.
Yeah, do read that. Drupal integration just got much better, way advanced. It's out on the Drupal.org website.
Nice.
Yeah. Also from Kusmani, MTC Extendee, the tweak templates are there for Modic 5 now. Awesome. They're really powerful stuff. If you haven't played with trick templates, do try that out.
Yeah.
And then ChatGPT, we had artificial intelligence for things inside of Modic so far, but now it's the other way around. You can click your Modic expert into ChatGPT and then ask ChatGPT advanced Modic questions.
Mm.
And that's fun. I mean, that's... I forgot the name. That was from Felipe Villas. Mm. So he provided that, and do try it out. I love it. I've actually been using it more than once, and I think that's nice. Totally the way to go. Modic expert for ChatGPT.
Oh, very good. Very cool.
Yeah. And then I think we mentioned it already, the new Tiger team, the UX UI, not so new anymore, but they are also killing it. They are very active now in making Modic better on the current level,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time preparing for a new for a next generation of Modic interface. So
they're doing great work, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Time and again, the topic came up now of if I have an app or a website and people log on there, how can I tell Mordek who that person is? So in essence, create a known lead in Mordek from an identity that's been identified somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And we're linking to a forum article here where people discuss the options. And I also take the liberty to link to a plugin of ours that is, I think, the most powerful solution out there for exactly that without any programming.
Yeah.
The only thing you need to do is tell your CMS to create a link to Mordek and put some parameters to the link and have both in sync. Not only create, but also keep them in sync.
Yeah, nice.
And last up, we did talk about multi-domain setups in many aspects. Here's a new one that's about the unsubscribe link in the show notes. The point is, if you want to do a multi-domain Mordek really, really perfect, then you have to consider many things. And here's one more. And maybe we need to compile some best practices at some point because it's a pretty common thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting harder all the time because browsers don't look like cross-domain, etc. So you want to do it right. And yeah, we should get this started maybe.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, but not today.
Oh, there was a long list of different topics. Yeah. Like the list of links in the show notes will be gigantic.
And I think you and I should take a break, take a sip while we listen to the interview with Jonas on Mordek scoring.
Here we go.
Here we go. Exactly. Yeah, today we have a very special conversation. I'm very happy to welcome here my dear colleague, Jonas Ludwig. Welcome to the show. Jonas did his master thesis here at Leuchtfeuer, and the topic of that thesis, well, you can tell us about that directly, I guess.
Yeah, great to be here. As told, I wrote my master thesis here at Leuchtfeuer, and it was basically about developing a lead scoring model in Mautic.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's it. Maybe about my background, I'm studying industrial engineering and management in my master. And yeah, I wrote the thesis here at Leuchtfeuer.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. I mean, full disclosure, Jonas is from Munich or somewhere in the larger Munich area, right?
Yeah, correct.
And we are sitting up here up in northern Germany, and so we were happy to have him here for multiple months and introduce him to beautiful Hanover. Yeah. Other than that, of course, this conversation is all about scoring, and maybe we start off by making clear for those who are not familiar with the topic, what is it about? And then we dive into all the details of the process, how to get scoring started, of the different flavors and all the gotchas and all that. So, but please, first thing, give us a definition or brief description. What is scoring? Why would you use it? How is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in short terms, lead scoring is a method of prioritizing the leads a company has, the contacts, and to filter out high quality leads.
Mm.
For example, if we sell software we have our form placed on a website and we generate a lot of leads,
mm-hmm.
not all of them are high quality leads. For example, there might be some competitors who just do research, there might be some students, and also there might be just leads who wanted to check out a product but are not really interested. And we want to filter all these leads out so that we can just reach out to leads that are really high quality and save time and resources.
Yeah, and are in the right buying, react to the right buying stage, right?
If somebody's that's true.
In the early research, that person might eventually be a real hot lead, but for now he's not a hot lead, mm-hmm. but deserves some further nurturing before we eventually think, okay, now he or she is ready.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and with this example, we are describing a B2B situation. No, maybe not. I mean, software, in many cases even, it's software where software is purchased by individuals as well. So that would apply to B2C as well.
Yeah.
But let's discuss once again, what if we think it's a hot lead? What do we do if we think, okay, scoring tells us that person is ready to buy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the super typical action do when we realize that a lead is sales ready would be heading them over to the sales team.
Mm.
That's basically when I did the literature research. Every article was about handing the lead over to the sales team. But what if we don't have a sales team? What can we do then?
Yeah, what if sales is totally not appropriate because our purchasing value is so low? I mean, it's all about e-commerce. I mean, in a situation, B2C, for instance, where it's all about e-commerce, we can still think, okay, this is a hot lead, but we don't want to spend an hour on the phone to sell him something for 50 euros. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. So basically, there are a few other options. For example, we can send them special offers for qualified leads. We can put them into a segment and then provide them special content for qualified leads.
Or different nurturing, quote unquote.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And there are quite a few options, whatever suits to our requirements.
Yeah. And I know, and I do know that there are even other flavors than just this typical lead nurturing towards a certain goal on the website. And not sure we want. Yeah, let's talk about that a bit too. Can you give us other examples, like special cases?
Special cases of lead scoring.
Yeah.
In regular lead scoring, we like qualify our leads. But for example, in B2B marketing, we sometimes deal with companies who have a lot of leads. And it might be we have like 7 of their leads in our database, and all of them show like a slight interest, but not really a huge interest.
Yeah.
So we would say these are all bad leads.
Yeah.
But when we then refer them to the company, we might figure out, wow, this company is super interested and we should pursue it. So that's one
Can we stick with company scoring for a bit? Because I think more than with persons, it's not just the behavior, like being super interested. It's all also about being a good fit, like an interesting customer for ourselves. So, so other things go into scoring as well. Can you talk about that a bit?
Like the factors, the parameters that go into the scoring.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so typically in lead scoring, we have this, it's called implicit parameters and explicit parameters. Explicit parameters are normally the attributes of a lead or a company. For example, if it's a lead, it could be the position of the lead in the company.
Yeah.
Then if it's about the company of the lead or the company, it could be the size of the company or the industry it's operating in. And then we also have this, the so-called implicit score, which is basically about behavior of a leads or the leads of a company. And for example, if they click on a link, visit a price page, we can all track that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's how we implement all those ideas. We said why we want to figure out a score, but the way it is implemented is that we observe certain behavior and say, okay, downloading a white paper, clicking an email, whatever, attending a webinar, that all gives a certain number of points.
Yeah.
Points is really the term used in Mautic rather than the score. And when a certain limit is reached, then some magic happens.
Yeah, that's true. Normally we develop a kind of a point system, or it's also called a scorecard, where we note down all the possible features of a lead or a company and all the possible activities. and can execute, and then they get all their points summarized and they have a score. Mm-hmm. And as you told, if the score exceeds a certain threshold, then they are treated as qualified leads.
Okay. Good. Now, I was kind of interrupting you when you finished with this company or account-based scoring. Are there other like niche examples of scoring or?
Yeah, kind of. There is also one, in my opinion, quite important, different use case for lead scoring. And that's basically, normally we measure the interest of a lead towards our company, but it might be that we sell quite different products. For example, we say we sell shoes and handbags.
Oh, B2C, yeah.
And if we say the lead is interested in a company, how do we know which product the lead is interested in? So basically, we have also the product-based lead scoring approach, where we build a kind of build a lead scoring system for all our products. So that we can then say, okay, we have this lead.
Yeah.
He or she is interested and in this product or this product, but not in these products. So we wouldn't tell our sales team to promote these products or send them special offers about these products.
Okay. So I always like drastic words, so please don't take it badly. To me, that sounds like abusing the scoring system in order to figure out topics of interest of that person, right? I mean, it's abuse is very negative, but obviously we're using it for something else, not to detect whether it's a hot lead. We can do that in parallel, but also what is a topic of interest? What is a person or company interested in? And thanks to Mordic 5, we can do that in, all in parallel because we have our magic point groups, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. And now that we know what scoring is good for and how it is, on a very simple level implemented, the topic of your master thesis is about the process, about the model of how companies should approach scoring, what routes there are, and what the order of precedence is, etc. So, where do we start? How do people do it traditionally? What is traditional approach to that?
So the super traditional system we've already talked about. So it's basically there are some experts and they just create this scorecard where they say, hey, this action is worth 10 points and whatever. The problem about this, it's not bad. It's good for starting out, but it's quite subjective. So it's not no data-based approach. So it can be quite biased. And because of that, there's also one kind of model. I developed two models that one could use, and one is a more static approach. So it's basically still experts who develop the scorecard, but it's combined with a data analysis so that we, for example, we can analyze, we have this actions, for example, click at this one price page, and then we can analyze, okay, in average, how often did the good leads click on the visit that page, and how often did the bad leads visit the page, and so we can figure out which actions are really the important ones.
So which are more closely related to the actual goal that's going to be reached. Okay, so what you just described as a really traditional way with experts, in reality, sometimes it's one person in marketing, I can tell you, who just says, okay, score this, score that, and let's see how we go, where we go. The goal, obviously, is to create leads for the sales team in our marketing and sales situation that are good quality. And if quality is not good enough, then sales won't like it and will eventually ignore it or will hate us or whatever. and of course, it's in everybody's best interest to get to good quality of our lead assessment, not to miss out on the good ones, but also not to send over all the crap or the not so good ones. Sorry for that. When you say experts, that is my question now, I would assume that the sales team is involved in that, right?
Yeah.
So who would lead the process? Who would, obviously you talk about scorecard and about statistical analysis and all that. There has to be someone who's leading that. Is it always an outside agency, like B2B consultants, maybe a marketing automation agency? Or would you think this is something that the marketing team should be able to do even over time, or maybe even the sales team?
Mm-hmm. So it depends. but I would say in general, that's a topic that the marketing team should be responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a marketing topic, but sure. It's really important that marketing and sales collaborate in this process.
Mm.
And basically the input from the sales department is really important. So it should be both the marketing and the sales people who give their input, because they all see it from a different angle.
Yeah.
And basically what you can then do, you can choose a few kind of experts and compare their the point system they would develop, and then you can maybe go for the average for this action.
Yeah.
These people said it's worth 5 points, another one said it's worth 8 points, so you go for the average.
Okay, so that's is a kind of model that you describe in your thesis, right?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And then you said there's a more dynamic approach.
Yeah, and that approach is called predictive lead scoring. It's quite different from the more traditional models because it doesn't use a scorecard or a score. Instead, it uses machine learning models that are trained with some data. And then later, these machine learning models are able to qualify our leads, to tell us these leads are qualified, these leads are not qualified, or prioritize them, give them, rank them from 1 to 10, whatever.
Okay, let's help people imagine that in more. You already said those models, or this ML, machine learning, does not even use scores, or doesn't it give you points to look at. So what else is then the outcome? How would I know this one is a hot lead or qualified or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a custom field or tag or doesn't matter? Or?
Yeah, it's basically a new custom field that you integrate into Mordic, and this will tell you the prediction from the model.
Yeah,
and the prediction can be quite different. It's all about with which data you train the model.
Yeah,
because you always you have the lead data, and then you also have a evaluation of your kind of all the leads, and this can be like good lead versus bad lead, or this lead purchased versus didn't purchase, or just ranking them from 1 to 10.
Okay.
And it depends on this training data what outcome you later get from the model. So if you train it with this lead became a customer and this one didn't, it will later predict you, okay, this lead will become customer and this lead won't.
So that's a yes or no field then. And in other cases, you can say, okay, here's a 95% probability. And then we can act on that basis. Okay.
But it doesn't have to be a yes or no field. It could be also a field 1 to 10 if you train the model with the lead quality.
Right, yeah, okay, but 1 to 10 is not different to me than 0 to 100%.
Or, it will be numbers, the outcome.
Okay. Okay. And now, how did you get there? I mean, I can understand scoring, and I can understand to sit in a room and look at some statistical analysis, and then the experts say, okay, let's put a 5 in that point trigger.
Mm-hmm.
But I still can't envision how does it look, how does it feel with this machine learning in conjunction with Mautic. First question, did you actually implement that? And as a user, how do I have to imagine that?
So basically implementing predictive fleet scoring right now, it's a bit tough because it's not implemented in Mautic.
Mm.
So the machine learning model, you have to build it outside of Mautic and then fill it with the data from Mautic that you exported before. And then it will give you the results, and you have to import them back into Mautic.
Okay, but that's just a matter of technical integration. But in the end, it's data in, data out.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah. Or I assume the data could also come from an external source like the e-commerce system. So
that's true. Yeah.
Okay. Good. So you actually, what you did in the master thesis was take some real data, turn it through some magic, and then you had some predictions, some values 1 to 10 or whatever for all the leads involved.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell anything about the quality of that? Were you able to prove that it's better than expert guesses or? I mean, it's hard to compare because you don't have the experts at hand. But how did it go? How good do the how promising are the ML results?
Maybe first of all, the quality also always depends on how you prepare the data before.
Mm-hmm.
So if I would take the data as it comes from Mautic, chances are quite high that it won't be a really working model.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to prepare the data beforehand, which is actually more complicated than training the model because there's just a few lines of code.
Mm-hmm.
I used Python for that. There's a library and I could just fill it with the code. With the data, and that was quite easy. But to come back to the question...
Hang on. I want to understand what do you mean by prepare the data? Can you give an example for that?
Yeah. For example, I tested the model with some data from an online shop, and there was this problem... we had the data from all page visits, all page hits.
Mm-hmm.
And when I analyzed it, I realized that there have been about 3,000 different pages.
Mm.
And if I had feeded the model with this data, it would just be too complex. And what I did then, I just built some categories, for example, price page, product page,
mm-hmm.
details page and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just counted for each lead how often did they visit this type of website.
Got it. Okay. And now back to your original point. Yeah.
And then it was, the data was good enough to build a solid model.
Yeah.
And about the results, what you asked originally.
Exactly, the original point.
First of all, maybe that you can compare it. I also tried it with a traditional model.
Mm-hmm.
And what I kind of predicted was the lead will buy or the lead won't buy. Because I had this data from the leads, if they bought or if they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I just built the model and tested what would it predict about these old leads.
Mm-hmm.
And there it was about 77% percent accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
So it predicted 77% of the leads right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried the same with the machine learning model and it predicted 95% of the leads correctly, which is a huge difference.
It is. And it, to be honest, when I hear numbers like that, always there's doubt in my mind, like okay, is there some flaw in the system? Is there some sort of self-fulfilling prophecy in the data or whatever? I mean, you did explain some details to me, and I'm now really convinced that it is a huge difference. The actual numbers can vary, of course, but especially the traditional lead scoring or appointments is questionable, and the number of 77% is quite high. But I guess it depends on the point in time when you do this. In the life cycle. But nonetheless, I mean, obviously a significant difference. Long story short, the results tells us the machine learning is the better way. Mm-hmm. Now, is there any dependencies? Is there a certain number of statistical data or number of clients per hour or so that this requires? Or can a B2B company do this as well as a B2C high traffic online store?
There's one thumb rule. We always have the number of features.
Mm-hmm.
For example, as I told you, I had this page categories, and I had a column where I counted the number of page visits for each of these types.
Yeah.
And each of these columns is a feature.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, you need enough lead data for that. Yeah. And you always say the number of columns multiplied by 10 is the absolute minimum of number of leads that you need to make some predictions to build a model.
And the number of leads per whatever. I mean, if those leads are from 365 days, then it doesn't matter because the number is good enough, right?
It doesn't matter, yeah. It does because maybe the whole system changes.
Yeah, it changes over time. Yeah, but given a stable system, then it doesn't make a difference, then right?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okie dokie. Now, well, sounds nice, or maybe even exciting, but how realistic is it to, or what would it take to get that into modding and into a live environment to let the system use that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you did this export and import process and the calculations offline. You did that once, but that wouldn't help in a real life scenario. Basically, would want to have that every day or every hour or so, right? Because you want to calculate for all the new leads as well and for the changes in the existing leads.
Yep.
Yeah. So there has to be some sort of automation. And do you think? I mean, you know Mordic quite a bit. You know the process that you did. Do you think it's realistic? And then how far is the way to get there?
Mm-hmm. So basically, implementing it that it's the predictions are generated automatically.
Mm-hmm.
That would be quite feasible. It's basically you still have to code the data preparation code and the code to develop the model.
Yeah.
But from then you could just, for example, use a cron job to always execute the code and then automatically import the lead predictions in Mordic.
Mm.
So that would be feasible.
Yeah. Or I mean, it could be an integral part of Mordic even if it's calling some Python code outside of it. So, okay. And one thing that comes to mind is if there's external data that is involved in the calculation, like from an e-commerce system or ERP or whatever, that would have to be part of it. But okay, that's standard procedure. But what I can't really imagine what that looks like is the individual part that you just touched on, like to model, to adjust this whole system to a specific situation. I mean, or put it the other way around, I could envision, or maybe I'm wrong, but I would imagine in the future, there's a plugin that does all this. It comes with some Mautic plugin, Python code, maybe adapters to somewhere. And now I have this plugin. I install it. Am I ready to go? Would I have to do some configuration inside of the Mautic plugin? Or what do you mean adjusting the model?
I would say the modeling that could be done like generically, because it's just testing a few algorithms and then figuring out the best algorithm
for that specific case.
Cool. Yeah. But that could be like a generic part. However, we have the data preparation. This part is completely different for every company, every use case. So that's a part. It could be replaced, made more user-friendly, so you don't have to use code for it.
Yeah.
Like we have the report part of Mautic that could be extended. Yeah, but you still have to do the data preparation once, and you can then reuse it always.
The process for preparing.
Yeah.
It would be so nice to have all that right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but I think it sounds like a good step-by-step approach to have the totally manual thing as a proof of concept, and then to have the generic plugin that it does all the ins and outs and so on. And then for starters, this is preparation could be on a really technical level.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody would have to do that once, right? But then it can run continuously.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe sometimes you have to adjust it, of course.
Things change.
But yeah.
Okay, let's move on. And I'd like to ask you more about Mautic. Like, regardless of predictive machine learning or traditional model, etc. But in all your research and in all your experimenting, did you run across any things? Any ideas for Mautic? Any things that are missing in Mautic? I know you even came up with some workarounds for missing features and so on. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So generally, it's possible to do lead scoring in Mautic. I have to build workarounds. You know, I tested it.
Yeah.
Except in the beginning, I presented some different use cases. And there was this account-based scoring where we score the company and not the lead. And there are just too many features missing right now in Mautic. So unfortunately, this one is not possible yet.
That's company scoring.
This part, it would be great to extend Mautic. Yeah, but besides that, we have for lead scoring, we have this point section in Mautic, which has three sub-points, let's say. And there we have manage actions, which is basically the part responsible for adding new scores.
Yeah.
For example, if we do product scoring, where we need a score for each product.
Yeah.
And I tested it. It's great. However, it could still be improved. The problem is right now, each score is not really treated like a real custom field. And for example, you can there's this campaign action where you can update a custom field. And this is, for example, really useful. We have a lead. It's qualified. We hand it over to the sales team. And they say, you know what? We think it's a good lead, but it's not ready. So they give it back, and we have to set back the score then.
Is that so? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because then it can be reintegrated into the whole lead scoring process.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And we can't use the update contact action here because the score field won't be integrated into this action. And I had to build a workaround there, which always checked is the, let's say we want to set the score back to 50, then it always checks, is the score higher than 50? and then it subtracts 1 point.
Oh, okay.
And this is running till we're back to 50.
Oh, my goodness. And okay, so basically a campaign action is missing to more explicitly, explicitly change the person's score value. Okay.
And that makes lead scoring more complex because we have to build extra campaigns.
Yeah. By the way, you just mentioned the feedback from the sales team that said, okay, we do not accept this score, this lead at this point. And we did not really mention the importance of feedback from the sales team to learn about the quality of the lead that have been handed over and to learn about the quality of the process, be it manual or be it automatic, to see, okay, this scoring works well or does not work well. Would you see anything specific that Mautic should do there, or is it just a feature of CRM or something that should be integrated?
I'd say it's more a part of CRM and you could integrate it because it should be integrated in the sales process from my point of view.
Yeah.
You can integrate it in Mautic also. I had a workaround where I just tested, is it possible to generate this feedback via Mautic? It worked. You can also see it if you want. You can read my thesis. There I showed the whole process.
Yeah.
But yeah, in general, it should be integrated into the CRM system. Okay. Or
good. Where can people find your thesis to wrap this up?
I think it's on the Mautic, on the Leuchtfeuer website, right?
Yeah, true. I mean, right now, we're recording this on April 5th, right? The blog post in the making, but it will be there as a blog post in full download in German original and also in English version, right? Yeah. Okay, so yeah, go there to Mautic.com, to Leuchtfeuer.com/blog, and you find it there. And the link is in the show notes, of course. But as a conclusion, stepping back to all those people who are not super familiar with scoring, what do you recommend for them as a first step towards a real quality scoring?
If you start out and you don't really have also data to analyze at this point, I would definitely recommend go for the super traditional system. Just set up a scorecard according to your own opinion, to your estimation, and use it, see how it works, and if you're happy with it, then keep it. And if you're looking for some improvements, once you have generated enough data, you can then think about combining it with some kind of data analysis or also to go for predictive lead scoring.
Yeah, well, to be totally honest, this predictive lead scoring, I've been thinking back and forth whether we are at a point where we should create a plugin for Mautic and then have all this infrastructure to allow people to do that. It's not there yet, and I don't think we will have the capacities to do that in the next couple of months. Maybe there's going to be some crowdfunding, or if somebody's interested, please do contact us and maybe we can do it as a commercial project. But other than that, it's open for everybody to pick up and then come out with themselves. If somebody's already working on that, also do let us know. I think it's very, very promising.
Yeah, and if you want to do it by yourself, the code I used is in my master thesis also.
Yeah.
So you can have a look at it and maybe adjust it to your need.
Yeah. But there's a little surprise at the end. I mean, it's written on paper that Mautic does not have the capabilities for company scoring, scoring. But that is about to change. So a little teaser for Mautic Conference Global on July 10th to 11th. That is where we will, hopefully, if nothing goes wrong, present a really powerful company scoring for Mautic. So that's coming down the pipe. And stay tuned. More in short term. Thank you very much, Jonas. Very awesome master thesis. Very, very helpful for practical things. A lot of things that we did not discuss here. Also a lot of basics and groundwork. So everybody is recommended to download the thesis and get their hands on it. Oh, okay. Everybody enjoy lead scoring, make good business or help your clients with it. And yeah, stay tuned for more. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. Thanks for listening.
Oh, exciting interview, I'd say, as basically always. But now I've got a question, like, what are we presenting exactly, Eki?
Nice try. Now, as I said, it's about Mautic Conference, where we're going to hopefully have everything in place for production and present it to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, this is not the place. No, but as you can guess, it's about making Mautic much stronger in dealing with companies and not only with individuals.
Yeah.
I mean, individuals are still the core, even if it's about companies, it's individuals that act.
Yep.
But company scoring, account-based scoring, and other things about account-based marketing, there's a lot of room for improvement. And we're trying to make some really good progress there. So stay tuned for the Mautic Conference. And we're going to talk about the conference in a bit.
Yeah, sure. Also, talking about exciting things, we've talked about it in this podcast already today, but the trials, the free demos from Mautic, sponsored by DropSolid, are finally live and being out to the public.
Yeah, I think that's a tremendous gain, tremendous step forward. Everybody can go to Mautic.org and click their little Mautic instance, a real instance that can do everything you like. For 14 days mm-hmm. free, so you can try Mautic as much as you want. If you like it, you can stay on the platform and become a DropSolid customer.
Yep.
But you're of course totally free to do whatever you like, then you like, or try over again. So props to DropSolid, who did a lot of work to mm-hmm. make this possible, who also became Diamond Sponsor in this context.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much for that, folks.
Yeah.
And of course, for every paying customer that comes out of that, that's also good for Mautic, because we get a buck or two and we need the funding.
Yeah, nice for the community.
Good. What else going on in the community? We have a review on 2023,
mm-hmm.
Blog post by Ruth, of course, year in review, link in the show notes.
Yeah.
2024, things have been going on that we did not yet mention. One is the Mautic Conference Asia, aka Conference India. So in fact, it was an Indian event, not an Asian event.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a huge success. I was really surprised.
Yeah. Very nice.
And the best report on it that I found was from Avi,
mm-hmm.
Avinash Dalvi, more from a personal perspective. So I think the headline is From Fan to Organizer.
Nice.
So that's his journey, but also it's a really good review on the event and some good photos. And so yeah, do take a look there.
Yeah.
And then we had another community sprint in Ghent, Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a hybrid sprint, so some people on premise, some attending remotely, and that was good. And I'm totally motivated now to organize or to get the next one organized. And I think we will have another real big in-person event once again, because that's yet another animal.
Yeah.
What else do we have?
Oh, Mautic recently became a digital public good, I've heard.
Yeah, that's more like a Hall of Fame thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's officially recognized as a public good. So the value of all this digital sovereignty, etc., to underline that even further, that's good for Mautic,
yep.
I think. And if you are in conversations maybe with public entities or so, then you should... Yeah, take this as yet another proof that it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also I've heard that Mautic joined and got accepted to the Google Season of Code for 2024,
ooh,
which is cool. I mean, first time ever. Yeah, the first time ever.
Yeah, everything else was Google Summer of Documentation. Or what was it?
No, Google Season of Documentation because I've yeah. did the mentoring one.
Okay.
Back in my days.
My bad. No, it's but in fact, it's, I think it's the first time that we really got accepted for Summer of Code.
Oh, nice.
What that means is that one person will be paid for multiple months to go all in and to create something fantastic for Mautic.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and I understand that the process. I mean, we have multiple candidates are really good. We have many candidates and multiple really good ones, and so the selection process of who we're gonna take on board is now coming to its conclusion. It's not here as we speak, but I can't wait to see what's coming out of that.
Same. Yeah, exciting. Also exciting is that we now have the 10th year of Mautic. That's a, I'd say, an anniversary we could celebrate.
It's coming up. It's incredible. It's been 10 years already. I mean, of course, the early days have been more or less hidden, but...
You could say so.
It's still so young, isn't it? I mean, okay, 10 years only. So we will have some sort of celebration. We also have a contest going on about... designs for that anniversary. So if you want to provide a nice design, please do take part in the contest. What I specifically liked was a review by Alan Hartless. We had him as an interview guest here as well in the past. So he was developer number one in the Mautic project,
the first one.
Talking about those 10 years and what it looked and felt like from his perspective.
Good stuff.
Finally, there's one more thing that I want to bring home, and that's the Mautic conference. We now have a date. It's July 10th to 11th. So Mautic conference global, that's happening in what country again?
The internet, I've heard.
The global is, of course, online, as it is every year in summer. So open to everybody. The announcement is there. The call for speakers is open. So if you consider doing a talk, be it a 5-minute lightning talk or a full session of 30 minutes, you're very invited to do that in English or in some other language. So it's all possible. And we very welcome all applications. And also, of course, if there's somebody out there who could imagine being part of the team in preparing or running the event, we very welcome that as well.
Every helping hand is very welcome.
We have a pretty good team together already this year, but if somebody wants to at least try it out and see if he or she can do a little bit and likes it, then please contact me directly, because I'm very involved in that team. It happens. But other than that, save the date, July 10th to 11th. From early to late, because we have to cover different time zones. Save the date and be part of that. That's the Mautic conference. The next in-person conference will be in November or December. This India event was for specific reasons is what was shifted to Q1, but we will have in Q4 this year, we will have the next in-person Continental event in Germany. By the way, we are doing another in-person meetup in June. If you are listening in Germany, please follow the link in the show notes. We'll drop it in there. Other in-person events coming up as well, but that's for the next Mauticast. And
exactly,
I think we have it in the can for today, Leon.
Yeah, we've covered it all. There was a long list.
Thanks everybody for listening. I hope in this long list there was something for you. If it was one or two or three and there was some value in it, then please tell everybody else about it and also tell us if you liked it or if you have suggestions for us, like always, if we missed anything.
Feedback is welcomed every way.
And we need more food. What's that? Feed?
More food?
More feed. More food.
More food.
Yeah, we need content. And all the news, give it to us. Yeah. But for today, thanks, Leon.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, wrapping it up. See you next time.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back.